Good morning. This is Community Speaks, and it's being brought to you by The Prescription Shop on Fort Street in Buffalo. Stop on in. Tell them KBBS sent you. Joining me this morning is Jennifer Romanowski with the Jim Gatchell Memorial Museum. Jennifer, thank you for taking the time today.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. We've got a number of things we're going to chat about this morning. We'll start with the Sam Mahara program. What exactly is this program?
So this is a wonderful program that we are sponsoring with the Wyoming Humanities Council and LobNow Law Office. And we are working with the Sheridan and Gillette communities as well to bring the just-announced National Council for History Education's 2018 History Educator of the Year, Sam Mahara.
Oh, okay.
We're very excited. He was 9 years old when he and his family were interned at the Japanese-American internment camp at Heart Mountain on the other side of the mountain near... between Powell and Cody.
Okay.
And he goes around the United States and speaks about his experiences at Heart Mountain and how the Japanese Americans were treated during World War II. And all of his speaking proceeds are turned right back and donated to Heart Mountain in Interpretive Center.
Oh, very cool.
Yes. Sylvia had a chance to hear him a few years ago. He's a phenomenal speaker, hence, you know, why he was just granted 2018 Educator of the Year. And we're very excited for this program. He's going to be coming and speaking to the Buffalo High School students in the morning, and then we are offering a free public to the community program at the Buffalo High School Auditorium at 6 p.m.
Okay, and you said that's free of charge? People can just show up?
Free of charge. It's going to be on March 15th, which is a Thursday.
Okay, excellent. So people can check out that. Sam Mahara, you mentioned that he kind of goes all around the country. How long have you had him booked for this gig? Is that something you had to book?
This is something we've been working on for probably about 6 months.
Okay. Yeah, I would imagine someone who's you know, goes that many places and being awarded with awards like that probably has a pretty busy schedule, so you probably got to kind of book him a mm-hmm. little ways out.
You know, and he was only 9 during World War II, but, you know...
It's old enough to remember what happened.
Exactly. Apparently, he shares some personal experiences, photographs, and kind of just talks about, you know, how is that relevant to today's culture? And sure. It's just as important then as it is now.
Very cool. And that's coming up March 15th, you said, at Buffalo High School
Auditorium?
It is
March 15th. It's going to be at 6 p.m., free to the public.
All right. So people can check out all that stuff. You've got a couple other things coming up, the Black and Yellow Trail History Conference. What can you tell us about that?
Yes. So every year we do an annual history conference. Last year it was the history of law enforcement in this area, and we had speakers from Wyoming Game and Fish, the Sheriff's Office, and then we had the Forest Service. Previous year was early Buffalo businesses. Well, this year we're doing the history of the historic Black and Yellow Trail, aka US 14 and US 16. We have a small exhibit of it in our museum because we have one of the original Black and Yellow Trail signs in the shape of a buffalo. And it was a way to promote the usage of the highways once the highway system was developed in like the 1920s and 1930s.
Okay.
It's literally called the Black and Yellow Trail because it started in Chicago, went through the Black Hills, and dead ends at Yellowstone National Park.
Oh, very neat.
We have two wonderful speakers who are coming to speak at our conference. One of them, Mr. Leonard Cash, is from Newcastle. His talk is going to focus primarily on the Black and Yellow Trail from Rapid City to Yellowstone. And then Daniel Stevens from Wisconsin is very excited to come out here. He's also one of kind of the other kind of experts on the Black and Yellow Trail, so to speak. So he's going to focus on like the car clubs, how the trail developed, the good roads commissions and conventions, and focus from the Chicago to Rapid City point.
Oh, cool. And when is this taking place?
This is going to take place on April 28th. It's a Saturday. And because we only have two speakers, the event itself is going to be from 5 to 8 p.m. We're very excited to be working with the American Legion and the American Legion Auxiliary. We are going to be having the program at the American Legion. So because there's plenty of parking, it's centrally located and it's ADA accessible. And then the American Legion Auxiliary is going to be catering our event.
Okay. And so that's coming up in April. You've got a program coming up next week, actually, on Wednesday, February the 21st. What can you tell us about that?
Yes. So this is a Johnson County Historical Society program. And the museum is mentioning it because we've always kind of been very big supporters and we co-chair these programs. So, and the programs are monthly until about May, and then we break for the summer. So our next program is going to be next Wednesday, February 21st at 6:30 p.m. at the Johnson County Library. And the speaker is going to be Colin Ferryman, who is an archaeologist with the Cultural Resource Analysts Company out of Sheridan. And he's going to be speaking about the Thorn Burr Wagon Trail.
Okay.
And we're very excited. It's something that a lot of people don't really know much about. It was tied to several kind of important events in the settlement of this area, just like the Bozeman Trail played a pivotal role in, you know, Buffalo and Sheridan and this part of the country. And we're very excited, and it should be a very good program. It's also a free program.
Okay.
And they usually go about an hour to an hour and a half, depending on the speaker.
Yeah, I'm sure people enjoy, as you mentioned, maybe some people haven't heard about this trail or know much about the history of it. Nice to have an event like this where people can come out and just learn something.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So some of the other things you have coming up, we'll run through them. You've got the cemetery tours later this year, and what are some of the other things you have?
Well, the funny thing is that a lot of people don't realize why we start planning them so early. And it's because the cemetery tours... we like to get the information out no later than June before people break for the summer so they can plan their vacations accordingly. And quite frankly, we have people start asking us, you know, in March and April when they're going to be.
Yeah, they're very cool, very educational. Again, I've been on a couple of them. They're a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. So the cemetery tours this year is going to be interesting because the first week is going to be during Longmire Days. Mm. We always do it the second and third week of August, primarily so it doesn't conflict with everything else going on in July and June, and so it doesn't conflict with school starting, and so it doesn't conflict with fair and rodeo as well.
A lot of things happening in this area, isn't
exactly.
It?
So it just so happens that Longmire Days is going to fall on the first week of the cemetery tours.
They moved Longmire Days back this year, right? It was in July, I believe, the last few
years. It's usually been in July, but we're excited because, you know, the fans have always been very gracious and nice for the most part. And, you know, it's a great way for us to potentially partner with the chamber and just say, hey, you know, if they don't want to go to the street dance, or if they don't want to go to the cowboy and Indian softball game, or if the events finish up and they're still looking for something to do, you know, they know all about the books and they know about the TV series. But what a lot of people don't realize is a lot of Craig Johnson's backgrounds and individuals, I mean, he's readily admitted that a lot of them are based on this area.
Sure.
Which is why Longmire Days is here. So we want to maybe encourage the Longmire fans to come to the cemetery tours and experience the actual kind of culture and local history. And honestly, who doesn't want to hang out at the cemetery at night and hear from history-minded people like myself? And, you know, these are not trained actors, but they do just as good of a job as the actors on the TV shows because their passion comes through, just like the actors on the TV series.
And it could be a busy weekend for you guys out there.
Exactly. You know, we do our non-walking Wednesday night programs to reach the audience members who don't feel like they can quite handle the entire two and a half hour walk around the cemetery, or they just don't want to. It's awesome. They're always a great audience to have. And then our traditional walking tours on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So those dates, if I remember correctly, is going to be 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th, I think. Okay. And then the following week will be the last four tours, and then right after that, school starts again.
Okay.
So we'll probably get that information started out in June. If you're interested and you perhaps want to perform this year, just please contact me at the museum. We're always looking for history-minded people who want to not share the stage with anyone and perform a monologue dressed as their character.
Sure. Yeah, it's definitely a lot of fun for people who haven't seen the cemetery tours. Something you definitely want to check out. Do you have anything else coming up you want to hit on here?
Yeah, we've got the date set for Living History Day. That is going to be June 23rd. It's interesting that there's 5 Saturdays in the month of June. We try not to conflict with 3-on-3 basketball because the pretty much only location right now for the 3-on-3 basketball is the courthouse parking lot. And, you know, we don't want our mule rides and blacksmiths and whatnot to conflict with the basketballs flying everywhere. And then we also didn't want to conflict with Father's Day because Father's Day is on a Saturday this year. So we are going to have it on June 23rd, still in the planning stages, but we've got some wonderful new events planned.
Okay.
We've already got the Basque dancers and the Bighorn Basque Club selling the Lukanka on board. And we're trying to do a little bit different this year to try and coordinate with our new exhibition that's going to be unveiled this summer. Which we're very excited to say. And it's kind of an interesting story. We had a visitor contact us this summer who was doing research in Kansas at the Spencer Research Library at the University of Kansas. And he came across this scrapbook that this anonymous photographer took around Fort McKinney.
Interesting.
He knew that there was really only one Fort McKinney, and that was in Buffalo, Wyoming. So he contacted us and said, you know, I came across this. Were you aware of it? And we weren't. We really don't have any idea of how it ended up at the Kansas Library. The librarians don't know, but they've been wonderful to work with. And we have permission from the Spencer Research Library to replicate that scrapbook, print them out, and it's going to be kind of a pseudo-photography exhibit of Fort McKinney, and these pictures are breathtaking.
Are they pictures that people haven't seen before?
We haven't seen before. Okay. The majority of the pictures, we've never even seen them replicated in any other known photographs that we have seen.
Very cool.
For instance, we have seen buildings that we never knew were on the fort property. We've seen individuals, the stables with the grooms grooming all of the, you know, cavalry horses, the launderers and laundresses of the laundry shop there. We've seen the interiors of officers' quarters. We've known what they looked on the outside, but we've never known what they looked like on the inside. We have soldiers practicing in the band. We've got them practicing ambulance drills, like literally putting the soldiers on the pallet and carrying it to the horse-drawn ambulance. Sword drills, cavalry drills, marching drills, like all of these really amazing pictures that we've just never seen before. We're very excited. And because Fort McKinney is kind of our fort, we claim ownership, we're also going to hopefully have enough space to include some of our larger Fort McKinney artifacts that don't necessarily can be put on long-term because we just don't have the space downstairs.
Okay, and did you say this is the upcoming exhibition you're going to open this summer?
Yes, so this will take the place of our Verna Keys Keys exhibit. We have a specific gallery designated in our museum that changes yearly. This past year, we were celebrating the 100th anniversary of the adoption of the Wyoming state flag, and we unveiled our Verna Keys Keys flag that had been conserved by a textile conservationist in New Orleans. Very excited to celebrate it. She was a local woman. She's buried here at Willow Grove Cemetery. You know, she was the ripe old age of 21 when she won the contest, which was sponsored by the Daughters of the American Revolution. It was great working with that organization as well and collecting the history that we incorporated into this flag exhibition. That's going to come off display, and now it's going to be this scrapbook.
Okay. So how long do people have before they can still check out your current exhibition before it gets flipped over?
Probably sometime in March is going to come down. So they've probably got a little bit less than
a couple weeks, maybe?
A couple of weeks to a month, probably. Okay.
So get in there and see it if you haven't seen it
exactly.
yet. Exactly. Absolutely. And if people wanted to come in and see it, what are your hours right now?
Our hours are Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's our off season. We'll move back to our summer hours probably at the beginning of June after Memorial Day. If they're interested in the Sam Mahara program, they're welcome to stop by any time during our opening hours. If they're interested in the history conference, they can purchase their tickets at the museum. It's only $25 a piece to attend the history conference. Heavy appetizers, American Legion, the American Legion Auxiliary is going to cater. We're just very excited to present local and regional history, and there is a deadline for the history conference. The American Legion Auxiliary loves to have a headcount about a week before, so the deadline to sign up for the history conference is going to be April 20th.
Okay. So people, get signed up if you want to check that out. Something else you guys are doing over there is taking advantage of social media and sort of your fan interaction.
Yes. Well, we've been on social media for quite a few years. We have a website that is currently in the process of being redesigned. It's just something that you have to do. The nature of the beast, you have to redo it every couple of years.
Yeah, it's outdated after 6 months, right?
Yeah, pretty much. So for us, it's really old because I think it's only about 3 or 4 years old, maybe. But we also have a Google Plus page. We also have Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. We're on TripAdvisor. We stay very active. We post daily, comment daily, just kind of a sneak peek behind the scenes, sharing. You know, and our museum work is never done. There's always something new you can discover. And on that note, we have been posting a series of photographs on our social media platforms. We've just concluded a series on interiors, just a series of photographs we have in our collection of the interiors of businesses around town. Some of them are identified, some of them are not identified. We had a previous series we did about 5 years ago. It's in an album on Facebook, and it's called, I kid you not, Unidentified Photos. Yep. And, you know, just these are photographs that have historic importance, but unfortunately, the individuals who knew anything about the photographs didn't remember or were already gone by the time they were donated to the museum. We've had some really good responses from our community members who are active on social media looking at them. You know, I recognize that individual, or I recognize that house, or maybe this is so-and-so. I remember my grandma going to this meeting, and I vaguely remember this lady. There's just been some great correspondence between us and our viewers on social media, helping to identify either the interiors of the businesses or at least giving us a location of where it was. For instance, we've been talking about the table supply store or the barbershop or a beauty salon, the New York store. We had an interior of the New York store that we knew about. Judge Ryman's office that we didn't really know where it was until someone commented that they think they were the offices at the second floor of a business that their grandparents own. You know, just the connections on connections on connections.
Sure.
So if you're really interested and just love local history, we really encourage you to go either on our Twitter page, our Facebook page, or our Instagram page and just help us identify these photographs.
Yeah, and even if you can't identify them, it's still fun to go through them and then go back as other people are starting to identify things and say, oh yeah, you know that.
It has been a blast, and the comments have been so overwhelmingly positive. They just love seeing us posting all the individual. Right now, because I'm a little bit of an Olympics junkie, we've been doing a series on the Olympics. I don't know if Sylvia talked about this a couple of times that she was last year, but we recently got a donation of about 14 banker boxes from the Hallworth family, who are descendants of the Sacketts and Gatchell. And they were previously at the Sheridan Public Library, I think. And then the family graciously requested that maybe it would be better at the museum instead of the Sheridan Library. And the Sheridan Library was like, that's fine. And it's been great. And they had a series called Ski Jumping and Babies.
Okay.
Really random, just how the photographs were cataloged in this scrapbook. And we've just had some really interesting
pictures.
Now, people
aren't ski jumping with babies in their arms, are they?
No.
Okay. Because that's what I pictured.
No, but we have, you know, we've just been kind of a sly, wink, wink type thing where we were showing people on skis practicing jumping or just skiing, and, you know, little kids playing on sleds, and we've been calling them like the three-person bobsled team.
Okay.
Four if you count the dog that's in the picture, but the response has been pretty awesome with that as well.
Yeah, that's cool. So people can check you out on social media and kind of follow along with these fun activities and maybe even help out if they have information on this stuff.
Exactly. And our updates on programs that are coming up, like we just talked about the Samahara, you'll find daily updates on that as well, along with the Historical Society program and then our history conference in April.
Now, see, these are the benefits of social media, is being able to get good information out there immediately. You know,
exactly.
And keep updating on a daily basis and things like that, yeah. That's awesome. So people can check you out that way. They can just stop in, check out the current exhibition a couple weeks, maybe a month before that's taken down and replaced. So get on into the Jim Gatchell Memorial Museum and check all that out. I got Jennifer Romanowski with me this morning. Jennifer, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. This is Community Speaks, and it's being brought to you by the Prescription Shop on Fort Street in Buffalo. It's 1450 AM and 103.5 FM KBBS.